Welcome to the WWE Podcast, your place for the most passionate wrestling analysis on the web.
Just turn Roman heel. What is WWE waiting for?
When other wrestling podcasts put you to sleep, you can count on the WWE Podcast to keep you engaged and asking for more.
I've been watching wrestling for over 20 years, and that was one of the best matches I've ever seen.
If you're easily offended, this may not be the show for you.
Whatever happened to the men being able to physically retaliate against the women in WWE? This is a fantasy environment.
This is unlike any other wrestling analysis. So without any further delay, let's get the show started right now.
Hey guys, welcome to the WWE Podcast. Thanks for joining me. Today is Sunday, November 4th, 2018. Welcome. So if this is your first time joining me, thank you for joining me. Lots of options out there, I know that. And I appreciate you giving me a listen, a chance, or those of you who have been with me for years and years. I do appreciate that as well. It is much appreciated. You can find me on Spotify. You can find me on Spreaker. You can find me on Apple Podcasts and also on Patreon. Patreon, if you guys don't know, is a entrepreneurial type of building website. And if you have anything creative that you like to share with others, they can become patrons of your show or your product, or whatever service you're providing. So that's what I've done. It is a way for, obviously, I'm trying to monetize my show, but I'm not giving away this feed or making it go away. This feed will remain intact. For those of you who are thinking that I'm trying to grab your money and run, that is not the case at all. This is going nowhere. So if you like to listen to the show on this feed, then do as you always done, and you can ignore everything I'm about to say. But those of you who like this show but don't like the ads and want more content, not just the content that's on my free feed, that is where you can go, is on Patreon/the WWE Podcast. That's Patreon, which is spelled Patreon.com/WWE Podcast. It's also on my Twitter feed. If you guys are looking for just a quick link, so it's patreon.com/WWE Podcast, and there you will be able to quickly become a patron if you're interested and start for just $3 a month. That's it. $3. It's less than what you would spend at a Starbucks coffee, right? Those of you who love Starbucks, although I'm more of a Dunkin' guy. I don't like to gorge on my coffee. To me, coffee is just to make you feel more alive, right? So I'm not going to spend more money to get the same feeling I could get with a cheaper coffee. And again, that's just me. I know that there are many coffee connoisseurs out there that prefer Starbucks, hence why they're so damn successful. But so that's the deal, guys. It starts at $3 a month. You get ad-free, totally 100% free. You get all these shows and additional shows. I'm actually going to be recording a show right after this one, and it's going to be all about Survivor Series coming up in just a few weeks with the card that is starting to shape up. I'm going to give some early thoughts on Ronda versus Becky Lynch and what could come out of that. I think there are some big implications for that match that will really reverberate all the way to WrestleMania, and touch on Rollins versus Shinsuke and Brock versus AJ. I know we've seen Brock versus AJ in the past, but I think the outcome here may be a bit different. And the traditional 5-on-5 for female and male participants in the that whole traditional yearly, annual, whatever other, I guess, word you want to use for it, match that WWE uses every year, and they try to make the fans care about which brand is going to win. And any fan that has been watching for more than a month knows this rivalry means nothing. The fans can't take a stand in this. So I've got some thoughts on this whole SmackDown versus Raw annual tradition that WWE tries to use as a marketing campaign for head-to-head competition. That's the only time every year that this happens. You know, with the exclusion of WrestleMania, with the exclusion of Crown Jewel in a tournament, and with the exclusion of the Royal Rumble, sure, this is the only time that they go head-to-head in competition. So outside of all of that, guys, I just wanted to let you know that in my show that I'm going to be posting exclusively for members on Patreon, that is going to be the show that I'm posting right after this one, so you won't see it, or hear it, rather, on my typical feed on Apple Podcasts or Spreaker. So, guys, thanks again for joining me. I do appreciate all of you guys. And if you want to see the show grow, if you want more content, if you want an opportunity to get your butt on the show, if you want an opportunity to dictate an entire show on a single topic that you decide, all of that will be available to you when you become a patron. There's different member levels of membership and different tiers. But again, it all starts at $3, $3. And so, but again, if you have no interest in that, you think I'm just trying to be a icky car salesman getting your money, then hey, tune me out and just listen to the free feed. And I do appreciate everybody who listens to the free version of this too, because that still does help. This is to me a passion. This is to me a real way to escape reality, a real way to connect with you guys and fans that love wrestling as much as I do. And I'm really grateful. Whether you decide to become a patron or not, that is totally up to you. But I wanted to give you guys the opportunity to listen to more of this show, as I'm going to be cranking out a lot more content than I have in the past. I'm carving out time to do it because I love it and I love sharing it with you guys. And I want the opportunity to, I mean, I have an entrepreneurial spirit, right? And so that is something that I've always wanted to do, is just kind of do my own thing and get paid to do something I love. So don't we all? All right, enough of that. Let's get to my thoughts here on Crown Jewel. And from what many of you have put on Twitter, I think you may be in lockstep with what I'm going to talk about with Crown Jewel. I watched it. I'm not one of these people that think they're being a martyr or being cute or standing up to the man by not watching Crown Jewel in some kind of quasi-protest, okay? I'm a fan first and foremost. I've been through this. We're all at nauseam as far as listening to what people's opinions are on Saudi Arabia and WWE. They decided to go through with the show. I agreed with them going through with the show, and they did it. And I applaud them for it. I really do. Many of you may disagree, and that's cool. I see both sides, but ultimately, if I were the one in the driver's seat, I would have done the same thing that Vince McMahon and company decided to do, and that was move forward with their contractual obligations. That's not to say that they are just hiding behind the contract. Well, we had to do it. Where our hands are tied. That's what the contract says. That I think it's deeper than that. I don't think that WWE was foolish enough to believe that people would think that and everyone be okay with, well, no, yeah, that they had a contract. I mean, they had to do it, right? No. I mean, they had money on the line. A lot of money on the line. Which means, are they going to punish the millions of investors that have decided to put their hard-earned money into WWE, only for WWE to not do what is the most profitable thing that the company can do and be the most successful it can be? It doesn't always have to be about what's right, unfortunately, right? I mean, ideally, the right thing and the best financial outcome would be the same result, right? In a perfect world, both of them would happen at the same time, but it doesn't. And you look at any company in the world that has been successful, and at times they likely chose to do what would be most financially successful at the time and long term, because this isn't a one-off show, guys. Remember that. It's not a one-off show. They have 9 more years left of this contract. So for them to put the shareholders' money in jeopardy, it would not be a fiscally responsible thing to do, just for, you know, sacrificing really the right thing to do. So that's enough about Saudi Arabia. Let's get to the show. I really, and I tweeted this out, and I'm going to stand by it, and I've had time to really think about the show. That was, and maybe I'm a bit skewed from WWE Evolution, because of how awesome WWE Evolution was, and it really blew me away. That Crown Jewel, and I can't believe I'm saying this, when you look at the show that had a returning Shawn Michaels after 8 years on the show, that this show was a joke. This show was a joke. That's not to say every match and every moment was terrible. That's not the case. There were certainly some bright spots. Certainly some bright spots. And I don't think that the Undertaker DX match was a complete disaster. Some people did. Obviously, we all have heard about Triple H's potentially torn pectoral muscle. We've all heard about that. But this match, and I'm going to start there because I think that's what owns on everybody's mind, I think it was sad in the sense that we all remember what all four of them used to be and how awesome it used to be to have any of those individuals on the show in a match. You knew you're going to get top quality, and they're a shell of who they were. Michaels, I think, was passable. But when we think of the Shawn Michaels of old, this was not the man that we all knew and remembered and were in awe of for years and years. This was a man that I think, unfortunately, will be tainted by the perception of him taking a massive, and let's not kid ourselves, massive payday to return in Saudi Arabia, you know, where he didn't make his career at all, did not even. Saudi Arabia has zero to do with the success of Shawn Michaels. And so you have him return in a country that has no history when it comes to HBK. None. Zero. And I'm sure somebody will dig up. There's something. Okay, fine. Maybe he made a few appearances somewhere in at some point in his illustrious career. Fine. But the point is, he made his career in the United States primarily. So he returns to a country that not only has a dark cloud over it after the whole disastrous murder of the journalist from Washington, but then looks bad by taking the money for this massive payday to come out of retirement. And I'll be honest, like I said, his performance was okay. It was passable. I think the bald head was distracting, to say the least. Kind of jarring. It was. I can't get past the bald head. It just looks so weird. I don't know. I for whatever reason, I was trying to consciously make an effort to not focus on Shawn Michaels' shaved head, and it was hard. I'm not one to, you know, really harp on people in superstars and wrestlers changing their appearance, but this time was difficult. So that's all I'll say about that. It was very distracting, and his moonsault was scary, because I didn't think that he'd be able to come out of it without some kind of somebody getting an injury out of that. I mean, let's face it, you can prepare all you want. There's nothing that replaces the in-ring performance. The in-ring competition, not performance. This is not a magic show. This is in-ring competition. There's nothing that really replaces that until you do it. And again, Shawn Michaels and Triple H winning, I mean, okay, I'm fine with it. I don't know what the outcome of this is. Is this leading to something bigger? Maybe. You know, I think that this was Shawn Michaels' way of testing himself to see where he's at, to see if indeed he wants to create a program that leads up to WrestleMania this year in New York, right in my backyard. Although I don't live in the city, but anyway. So I think that this is Shawn Michaels' way of testing himself, seeing and grading his body at this point in his life. And does this lead to Undertaker versus Shawn in a one-on-one match? Maybe. I think that's really the most interesting outcome that this could have. I mean, there's a hell of a backstory leading all the way back to 1997. And this has a 21-year backstory you could pull from. All the way from, obviously, Bad Blood in 1997 when they had their first Hell in a Cell match. All the way through them meeting in the Royal Rumble for the first time since Shawn Michaels returned after his back injury in 2002 when he returned. And then you obviously have the WrestleMania 25, which was an instant classic. WrestleMania 26, which I mean, it was the sequel to 25, which how often are movie sequels superior to the original? Not too often. But that's where Shawn retired, and we haven't seen it since. There's a lot of history there. I think that WWE would benefit from Undertaker sitting down as the Undertaker in character, but doing a sit-down interview. If they're going to make this happen, have Shawn sit down, have Undertaker sit down. What does this mean that he's coming out of retirement for a one-on-one? I mean, it's too late now. I mean, the milk is out of the udder. You can't put it back in. He came out of retirement on Friday. And it's what's done is done. If you had told me, you know, a year ago that Shawn would be coming out of retirement, I mean, it would be the biggest news story that wrestling has had in years. And instead, it was more of a footnote where Shawn was buried in a tag match that didn't feel like it had much fanfare. It felt a little forced, and you have a match that was just average for Shawn freaking Michaels. One of the greatest, if not the greatest, in-ring competitors of all time. And it felt like it was just another day at the office. It was not okay for me. I did not feel okay as a fan that I felt the way I did, so lethargic that Shawn Michaels was coming out of retirement. And I don't want to say I didn't care, because I did, but I almost had to force myself a little to get more excited than how WWE made me feel based on their story they presented for this match. So let's move on. Let's move on to the next match here. And I'm not going to go into every single match of this World Cup tournament. I want to touch on a couple of things here. One is Kurt Angle versus Dolph Ziggler. And then I want to talk about the insane final. And typically when I say insane, that comes with a pretty positive connotation. I don't think that that's how I mean it this time. So let me just touch on Dolph versus Kurt. Kurt Angle is unfortunately another victim of Father Time. This man has more miles on his body than 10 men can put together in their lifetime. This guy has torn it up for years. A hell of a competitor in WWE during his run. Went to TNA. Became the top guy there for years. And to see him in the ring with Dolph Ziggler, who I think was a great choice to make Kurt look as good as possible, it was glaring that Kurt Angle is no longer Kurt Angle. I applaud the guy for getting in there. He didn't make any mistakes. He just felt like he was running at half the speed he normally did. Back, at least what my memory remembers the Kurt Angle of old as. And that was also difficult to watch. It was difficult. I enjoyed the Angle Slam and the ankle lock. I'm just not getting as excited as I feel like I would have been for these stars' return. I mean, I just went through the Shawn Michaels debacle that happened at Crown Jewel. And I don't know. It wasn't a bad match. None of these are bad matches. The problem is that you have legacy stars that aren't living up to what they used to be. And the bar they set when they were in their prime was so high that even when they come out of retirement, or return in Kurt Angle's case, he hasn't really ever retired, it's unfair to put them against that that bar that was set, you know, 10 years ago, 15 years ago. It's hard. It's hard to watch this. I don't think Kurt should be in a one-on-one. I really don't. Not anymore. I mean, maybe if you've never seen Kurt Angle before, you have nothing to compare it to. But I don't want to see Kurt in one-on-one anymore. I really don't. An angle slam here and there. An ankle lock here and there. Unfortunately, I don't think Kurt's going to stay away from the ring. I think WWE still sees a little bit of juice left in the orange to squeeze out. But at least for me, in my personal opinion, it's difficult to watch Kurt Angle at this stage of his life get in there. And I just feel like he just doesn't have that third and fourth and fifth gear anymore. It's like he's stuck in second gear. And he can't get out. And I just keep waiting for him to break out and show some speed or some agility. And it's very robotic and stiff at times. And I mean the most respect to Kurt. Kurt is... I respect the hell out of this guy. I just remember what he was, and I see what he is in the ring, and that's a drastic, stark, very... I don't want to say sad, because he's not dying. But I just am, I guess, a little let down at what Kurt is now in the ring. And you know what? I'm not disrespecting guys. So, okay. Anyway, the other thing I want to talk about with this tournament, while there were some good matches in there, I enjoyed Rey Mysterio and Randy Orton. I think they have always had good chemistry. They also have a fairly storied rivalry as well. Rey Mysterio, I think, is the opposite and hasn't lost maybe a quarter step since he's returned. I think that he's done an awesome job since his return as far as being Rey Mysterio. For the most part, about 85% of what we remember him as. And I really like it. And so the final, though, making a complete mockery of their tournament, their World Cup tournament, with Shane McMahon winning. And then you have Baron Corbin. I'll get to that match in a moment, interfering in that match. There has to be some oversight of these general managers deciding to physically interject themselves on a consistent basis, putting themselves in title matches as Corbin did in the Universal Championship match a number of weeks ago. And then Corbin attacking Braun Strowman before his match with no explanation. And you have Shane interjecting himself since The Miz, quote, hurt his knee, putting himself as the replacement. I mean, you have all these interviews, you go through all of this to make us feel that, okay, this trophy means something. You know, as worthless as the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal trophy feels, and it's worthless, let's be honest, it's worthless. It has done nothing, zero, other than WWE hoping that you attach some kind of value because they name it after Andre the Giant. I mean, that's it. It's smoke and mirrors, folks. That trophy means nothing. And when WWE announced the World Cup trophy, that to me meant nothing. However, over the weeks that they were promoting it and having superstars talk about it and doing brackets and making it feel like a tournament and giving a little bit of value to it, that whoever wins this is in line for, you know, the push, as we all say. I really don't know what to make of Shane McMahon winning. It angers me as a fan. It's not a good booking strategy at all. It cheats the fans out of a potentially great final. And yes, it was heel versus heel. However, you have Shane McMahon, who is not a competitor in the ring at all. And as it was eloquently put on another podcast, wrestling podcast, it's almost as if Shane, as the promoter's son, is privileged. He is entitled to just go in the sandbox and play whenever he wants. I did not like it. I thought it was a joke. A joke. And it instantly decredited the value of that trophy to whatever value that they had added over the number of weeks to zero or less than zero to me. And Shane McMahon wins it. How is that even... Where's the checks and balances in management in WWE, at least from a storyline perspective? How do the board of directors not get involved? How does Vince not get involved? That's his son, I get it. But this is also a man that put his son in Hell in a Cell with The Undertaker, basically trying to sentence him to death, denouncing him as his son, and then names him SmackDown Commissioner, but that's neither here nor there. I don't know where the oversight is. I really don't. Anyway, let's get to the Universal Championship match with Brock and Braun. Unfortunately, I don't have a whole lot to say here. I mean, how can you? How can you? Brock's matches that he has are unlike any WWE match that you will see on any given night. You know they could be 10 seconds. You know they could be 10, 15 minutes. But he has that unpredictable feeling when he gets in a match that you just don't know how fast the match could end. Which is, at times, a good thing. Because you don't know what's going to happen and it could suddenly end. In this case, you have Baron Corbin blindside Braun Strowman with the Universal Championship, allowing Brock to take advantage and give him 300 F5s. It ended up being five F5s that put Braun down. Braun got in one offensive move, which was a kick to Brock's face, which, if you looked at Brock's face, seemed to actually catch him pretty flush on the face, on the cheek. But this, it's losing its nostalgia. Maybe that's the point, that we're all supposed to go, oh my God, Brock, a Brock reign again? No. He shows up whenever he wants. His matches are half-assed. He's a one-trick pony with the F5. I mean, maybe that's the logic with this whole Brock regaining the Universal Championship logic? Maybe it is. But the fact is that Brock is not here very long. He has a UFC return coming up. I think this is a bridge to something else. I think Brock loses this at Survivor Series to whoever that challenger may be, and it very well may be Braun Strowman, after he absolutely tears apart Monday Night Raw tomorrow night, and you can bet he will be searching for Corbin. I can see Corbin at the top of the show saying he's got security all around the building, police all around the building. And this could very well be a stone cold like entrance for for Braun Strowman, tearing down the house to get his hands on Baron Corbin and just destroying everything in his path. That's what it should be. And if they don't make that, then they're missing the boat here and purpose and just embarrassment of a match that they had at Crown Jewel. So, and by the way, just on a side note, what was the budget for the pyrotechnics on Friday? I mean, I'd love to see the number on that. I mean, it seemed like everybody that came out got some kind of pyrotechnics, whether it filled the entire rim of the stadium or it was just Kane had his fire, Brock had his fireworks that were on stage. So just curious. And as another side note, how scared was WWE to just utter the word Saudi Arabia? They did everything they could to avoid saying those two words. Everything. They said Riyadh, right? So they said the city. But even New Day, when they came out and said, oh, Crown Jewel, instead of the name of where the hell they're at, right? They just replaced Saudi Arabia with Crown Jewel. And I understand from a PR standpoint, you don't want to draw attention and just get through the show that they're in Saudi Arabia. But it was just very obvious and kind of embarrassing, to be honest. So that's how I felt about it. This was not a great pay-per-view. Some of the qualifying matches in the tournament were entertaining. As I said, Randy and Ray were good. I think The Miz feigning an injury is leading to something, I think. Daniel Bryan losing out on the really choosing not to go to Saudi Arabia. I shouldn't say he lost out. He chose not to go to Saudi Arabia, and WWE covered it by just saying, well, let's put the match on at SmackDown Live. That way we're giving the fans what they want. He's not going to win anyway, and we still need to get a championship match at Crown Jewel. And that happened to be Samoa Joe And AJ beat him clean, which was, an I think, an okay match. Again, okay. And you have that program, I think, officially over. Over. I think that would have... And I keep saying it, and I've said it for the last 3 months, to put the belt on Joe. It's time to do it. If you're going to do it now. And I think the time has now passed, at least for Joe capturing it from AJ Styles. That program seems to be over. Anytime the babyface beats the heel clean with a finish and there's no after-match shenanigans or after-match beatdown, it's over. That's the blow-off. And I think we saw the blow-off for these two individuals who put on a good to, at times, very good to great program. And so, anyway, I think this show is over. Let's all move on to, and this is what WWE had planned on and probably hoped for, were fans and media and shareholders and stockholders forgetting the fact that they went to Saudi Arabia and have short-term memory and just move on to the next pay-per-view as quickly as they can. And they did. And they have. It is now all about Survivor Series. And so, again, guys, if you want to hear all about my Survivor Series thoughts and my early call predictions and how it could implicate all the way to WrestleMania, go check me out on Patreon. That's patreon.com/WWE podcast. I'll be releasing a show there in the next few minutes, which, if you're listening to this, you know, on a Monday, doesn't matter, right? Because it's going to be released pretty much the same time that this show's released. So if you're interested in that, just give me a try. Throw yourself on there as a patron. Again, $3 a month, ad-free, and additional shows like the one you're going to listen to if you decide to sign up. So, all right, guys, that's all I got. Again, follow me on Twitter @TheWWePodcast. And until then, I'll talk to you next time.